This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, I'll be talking later with Professor Michael Luxner, who teaches at Millikan University in Decatur. He also conducts the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra, who are going to be giving their annual Young Artists Concert tomorrow night at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus in Decatur. It involves, as it does each year, the winners of their solo competition from students there, and also a collaboration with the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra. We'll be hearing the details and some preview samples on the second portion of our show. First up, I'll be talking with one of the two founding members of a band out of Providence, Rhode Island called The Low Anthem. For lack of a better term, they're an indie folk band who are going to be at the Canopy Club on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana next Tuesday evening for a 7 o'clock show. I'll be talking with Jeff Brustowski coming up very shortly here on Live and Local.
On my way home.
The song's called Ghost Woman Blues. It's the opening track from the latest CD by a band called The Low Anthem. The CD's called Smart Flesh. They're from Providence, Rhode Island. They're going to be at the Canopy Club on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana next Tuesday evening for an early show starting at 7 o'clock. One of their founding members is Jeff Brustowski. He's on the phone with me right now, actually, as they're in the car traveling from one place to another in Canada, and they're about to get where they're going, so we just have a few minutes with them. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Give me an idea of how y'all got started, and where does the Low Anthem name come from?
Well, we met in Providence almost 10 years ago, that is, Ben and I, and started playing as a trio with a guy named Dan Lefkowitz in 2006, and then met Jossie, and she joined the band the following year. And Dan left, and there have been various people who have come and played with us, shared their music with us throughout the years, and we'll be coming to the Canopy Club as a quintet with Ben, myself, and Jossie, and two other members, Mike Irwin and Tyler Osborne. The name was given to us by a friend of ours on one somewhat unmemorable evening many years ago, and we've stuck with it, and I think we still like it.
So was the evening unmemorable, or the reason the name was given to you unmemorable?
Perhaps both. Have you ever read Ayn Rand's Anthem?
I've never read it.
Where he got it from.
Oh. No, I have not read it.
I don't think I've read it either, though I've read many books.
So you're not actually sure how it refers, how you acquired it? I mean, how it applies to you guys?
Not really. It's not in the manifesto or anything like that.
Well, you'll have to create your own. I guess you are creating your own in a way. You know, it's interesting that the two people you mentioned first as Ben Knox Miller, and then as Jossie is Jossie Adams. You guys seem to have come together with an interesting background, different background of musical experience. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. I come from a jazz background. I grew up just outside New York City and used to frequent the jazz nightclubs. Jossie comes from more of a classical background, which I guess is appropriate for your show. She grew up around Boston, and Ben grew up in Ossining, New York, and has studied songwriting in folk and other traditions. And right now we're on tour with City in Color, which is a Canadian band, and we're touring. We're opening the show for them all the way across Canada from Vancouver to Halifax, and we're coming into the States to do some shows with them and some of our own shows, and the Canopy one is one of the few that we'll be doing as a headliner.
You certainly have, it seems, been making a name for yourself in certain circles. Although, you know, I'm kind of curious to know what kind of circles, because as I've listened to this album, Smart Flesh, there's nothing on here that is what I would call standard rock and roll or standard pop or standard jazz or standard anything whatsoever at all. I mean, you have clarinets who show up on the album. You have what sounds to me like a harmonium that shows up here somewhere. You have a ballad going on, sort of a psychedelic-y ballad with banjo, which is not the usual sort of combination there. I thought I detected a spoken radio in the background of one of the songs. Do you call yourself any kind of genre at all?
Well, if prodded, I usually say folk, but that's just because we tend to have lyrics and song base to begin with. But I think you're right in that we do have some unusual arrangements. And if you, for those of you who are coming out to the Canopy show for the and seeing us for the first time, we do switch around instruments, which is something else that might seem strange at first, but I'll go from the bass to the drums to the pump organ, and similarly, every member of the quintet plays about at least three different instruments during the show. So that might help to inform your listening of the record and who's playing what and where those different distinct and diverse instruments are coming from.
I wanted to give listeners an idea of one of the types of sound that they might hear at the show. This is a song called Matter of Time, and this is the one where I thought I heard harmonium, or is that the pump organ in the background?
That's a pump organ, yep.
And I wrote sort of mysterious sound here. I made little adjectives.
That we had it dated by a pump organ specialist, and he dated it at 1917. And apparently it was an organ that was played by preachers during World War One, bring it out to the battlefield and played in the field. It's completely foot-powered and with air bellows, and it's quite beautiful. We bring it everywhere with us.
Did you choose that instrument for this song because of the subject matter of the song?
Sure, and also it's one of our... We play it a lot. You'll hear it across the record, actually, and also on the previous record.
The pump organ.
Mm-hmm.
But it's most prominent on this particular one because it sounds like it's mostly just the vocal and this instrument and not a lot more.
That's true, and that was a very interesting take because we had tried that song all throughout the day, and this was that take was done at close to 2 a.m. after all the other possibilities had seemingly been exhausted.
Here it is, Matter of Time by The Low Anthem from the CD called Smart Flesh. They're going to be at the Canopy Club in Urbana next Tuesday. And we're talking with founding member Jeff Prostowski here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
See me laying in the grass.
It's called A Matter of Time, or just Matter of Time, from the album Smart Flesh by The Low Anthem. And we have Jeff Prostowski of the band with us right now. Are you the lyricist, the music writer, combination of both? How do your songs come together?
It's a pretty organic process whereby, let's say for the album, the songs on Smart Flesh, a lot of them, Ben had skeletons for the song written, so that would mean for us melody and lyrics, and to some extent the chordal structure. But really, when you hear all those, all the different instruments, and you hear, you know, the kind of like having to ask a second follow-up question, you know, what was that that I'm hearing? A lot of that is just all of us getting together in a room and trying out different instruments and our own influences and kind of tossing the tune around and until it feels good to all of us. You know, that's the stuff of the band, you know, a band's chemistry. It's hard to pin down.
You said when talking about the tune we just played, Matter of Time, that it was a very late night or rather early morning take that finally made it to the record. And I was reading some of the ways in which you've made your various records, and this one you actually did in a former pasta factory or something like that?
Yeah, that's correct. It was a factory that was in use from probably 10 to 15 years ago all the way back to maybe 60. And it was... I believe it was building 8 in a series of nine abandoned factory buildings. So it was really a complex of these abandoned buildings, which made for a really eerie environment to work in. But we were working in the smallest of the empty buildings, and the smallest was as big as an airplane hangar. And it really took some time to get used to recording in that environment. You know, it's really not traditional. The sounds were coming through our boards very thin in timbre and texture, although we thought they would be huge because it was a huge room. So it took a month at least of setup to really feel comfortable working in that space. But the sound was so unique, and you know, maybe even beyond the sound, it was really just the vibe of being in that abandoned factory building that I still to this day take with me.
Why not do it in a studio? Why did you pick this place? Did you go looking for a certain type of place?
Yeah, we were interested in making a record. We were coming off of a kind of world tour on Charlie Darwin, which was the record we made previously. And we had played so many hundreds of shows together that we wanted to capture that live sound of our, at that time, quartet playing all together. And so we wanted to find a big empty space. One of our favorite things to do was to sing in four-part harmony. So we thought, let's get a space that's big and open, that that interacts with us, that feels like it has character, and where we could sing together and play together acoustically and try to get something that was more unique than a regular studio would be with its controlled environment. So that was the attempt. It turned out that, you know, there were a lot of surprises and twists and turns, and it wasn't so easy. We ended up going to, for example, Matter of Time was not recorded in that factory, but actually in a secondary studio space that we call the Gator Pit. three songs on the record were done there. So it wasn't a great place for every song, but for some songs it was really perfect. Like Ghost Woman Blues, that you heard earlier, I would put in that category.
Which was recorded at the factory.
Which was recorded at the pasta sauce factory. Yeah.
The you indicated, or at least I read in my, you know, source here, which is always questionable, on Wikipedia, that this is the last tour in the current chapter of the Low Anthem?
Yes.
And what does that,
true.
Why, and what does that mean, and
so,
why?
So that means that for this new record, we're not trying to, capture that organic sound of a quartet playing and singing together. We want to try something new. In order to do that, though, we have to take some time away from the road and find a studio and really experiment day in, day out with a new sound. And we've invited Tyler Osborne to join the band to help us with this. And he is from Virginia and has been an acquaintance for some years. We knew he was a great musician, but he was still in school. He just graduated and really excited to start playing with him. He brought his electric guitars and all of his pedal boards, and he really comes from a kind of different, I like to think of it as what records does a musician bring into the mix when they join the band, and he brings some records that I just really had never even heard of. So I'm very excited to continue to play with him, and this is his first tour with us, the one across Canada that we're currently on. So we're getting to know each other's musical styles, and hopefully this new record will really bring us to a new place. What that place is, it's hard for me to describe because, you know, we're not there yet. But we do know that it's going to take some time to get there, so we are calling it the new chapter.
If he's got all the guitars and the pedals and so on, does that mean you're going to become a more electric-sounding band than at least you are most of the time on this record?
You would think that, but actually Tyler's a pretty subtle player, and he and Ben are, because they're both the guitarists in the band, influencing one another and coming up with some very interesting sounds that are textural, not necessarily played at a loud decibel level or volume, but make you turn your head and think, what sound was that exactly? And I think we're interested in those, I guess. I guess it's fair to say that at this point. We always seem to come home after a day at the studio and listen back, you know, in the car driving around Providence, Rhode Island, and think, wow, that's a strange sound. What was that? And sometimes nobody hears it but us in the car, and other times we release them to the public. So,
well, I have to tell you that part of the thing that attracted me to decide to, you know, seek you guys out for a chat on the show is the unusual combination of instruments. And and one of the things that certainly in my experience, for a folky sound, whatever you want, new folk sound, however you want to characterize yourself, is that nearly all the songs on this record are slow and meditative. And one of them is not particularly slow and meditative, ironically, is called "Hey, All You Hippies." And I could almost imagine you guys sitting around in an ashram with your hippie attire and listening to your own music or something like that. And, you know, are you meditative type people?
I certainly am, but not bad at all. So it doesn't fit perfectly. No, we're all pretty different. I think that's one of the unique things about the band and why I've always loved playing with these guys is that we share some common values and common approaches to music, and we all love music so much, but we've really come at it from different angles. So no, we're not all yogis in an ashram. You know, probably it's more like, you know, maybe I would be maybe in the ashram and someone would be outside the ashram selling hot dogs, and another person would be playing the harmonica on the roof of the ashram. I don't know.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed listening to the music and talking to you. It's Jeff Prostowski of The Low Anthem, a band who will be at the Canopy Club on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana next Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And we're talking about their album Smart Flesh. Interesting that there is another concurrently recorded album that you'll find if you go to their website, which is just lowanthem.com. And I got confused on this point. It says the new Snake Wagon album is out, and I guess this is kind of your band's alter ego?
Yeah. This is a recent development that we've been having fun with. Snake Wagon is it's the same personnel, but it's just a different kind of style, different set of songs. It's basically humor-based. They're all different characters that are undergoing pretty funny happenstance in their life, and some of them are absurd, some of them are insane or maniacal, but these are all songs I've penned over the last year, so it's just something we've been doing late nights, you know, after we play the low anthem shows, and it makes us laugh. And if it's right, some other people laugh with us. If it's not the right place, some people are not prepared for it.
Well, I haven't checked it out yet, and I'm looking forward to now, especially the more maniacal songs. I like the sound of maniacal.
Well, yeah, you could download it for free. In fact, we gave it away for free. So, actually, that's the first track on the album, is "Give It All Away," and it's about a guy who gives all of his money away to the church, only to then take it back by the end of the song.
Sounds like fun. Well, this next tune and the last one we'll go out with is not maniacal at all. In fact, it's, of all the tunes on here, it's the one I just wrote down. I got to play this one because it's the one instrumental, purely instrumental, and I just love the sound of this thing. And there's actually multiple clarinets going on here. Are these overdubs, or are you all playing them?
Yeah, those are, all three parts are played by Jossie, and this is her. This is a composition that she wrote and then tweaked when we were on the road. And it's just beautiful. And we played it at Lincoln Center, actually.
Wow.
And we rarely get to play it live because she has to find two other clarinetists in whatever town we happen to be in. Certainly tonight it's Saskatchewan. That's going to be pretty hard. But when it happens, it's really beautiful. And so, yeah, it's called Wire.
And so it might happen at the University of Illinois.
It might happen at the Canopy Club.
There are some great clarinets here. If you need names, I can point you to some.
Thank you.
It's Jeff Prostowski of the Low Anthem. They'll be at the Canopy next Tuesday night. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9, Wire from Smart Flesh. Music is called Wire from the album Smart Flesh by the group called The Low Anthem out of Providence, Rhode Island. They'll be at the Canopy Club in Urbana next Tuesday evening. You're listening to Live and Local. Should Black History Month be ended? That's a question posed on More Than a Month, our next community cinema presentation. It will examine what the treatment of history tells us about race and power in contemporary America. The free public screening is at the main Champaign Public Library Tuesday, February 7th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned and the discussion translated by a sign language interpreter. We have support for our show today from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods in the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jam, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. That was music by Paul Maurice from his Tableau de Provence, the first of five movements, the Farandole des Jeunes Filles. Farandole is sort of a form of a dance, I believe, of the young girls. And the sax player was Harvey Patel in that recording with pianist Jeff Helmer. That is one of the pieces, in fact, the opening piece on the concert that will be happening tomorrow night at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan University campus in Decatur by the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra. It's their annual Young Artists Concert, conducted, as always, by music director Michael Luxner, who's also professor of music at Millikan. And he is with us on the line. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. So this is an annual event, and I think we usually talk about it annually.
Well, there's always a lot to talk about because it's such interesting repertoire turns up. I never know what we're going to get, of course, until the competition takes place.
Although there's one element of predictability in these competitions I've noticed over the years, or you could say two elements of predictability. One of those is almost inevitably a percussionist, usually a marimbist, wins, and almost inevitably at least one vocalist wins. What's up with that?
Milliken, of its 340 or so undergraduate music majors, it's 60% vocal, and well known for choir and opera, so it's not surprising that we usually have a vocalist. But or two. One year, all four winners were vocalists.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I missed that year.
But you're right about percussion and about saxophone as well. In fact, since the areas represented this year were sax, piano, sax, percussion, and voice, I went back over the 16 years that I've been at Milliken and discovered that, including this year, we will have had 10 percussionists as soloists in 16 years. Now, that includes a couple of double concertos, so roughly every other year. And this is the sixth by a saxophonist in 16 years, so it's almost one in three, or more than one in three. So these are very, very strong studios at Milliken. And incidentally, both studios in which the teachers are respectively Brian Justice in percussion and Jeremy Brunk and Perry Rask in sax, both have very strong student populations in the prep department. Many of the students that come to Milliken on these instruments live in Decatur and have been studying with these guys since they were in eighth grade. And that includes the two who are soloists on this concert this weekend.
We're going to sample music that will be sung by each of the two vocalists on your concert.
Sure.
Actually, first, why not, since we had saxophone first, tell us about the winner of the sax winner.
Well, his name is Adam Blakey. He's a commercial music major and went to MacArthur High School here. The high school here has a terrific jazz band that has a kind of national or at least regional profile, and he's was a lead player there. He's a lead player in jazz here as well. Very dedicated wind player. He's already studying flute with our main flute teacher and oboe with our main oboe teacher. And is a great jazzer and a very serious all-around musician. Very studious, terrific student in theory classes, has a fabulous ear. He has a great future in front of him.
And then the second soloist on the concert is a soprano. Does she say her name Carrie or Kari Ringenberg?
Kari Ringenberg. Again, yeah. Another extremely well-rounded and versatile student. She, in fact, is an oboist as well and has been a mainstay of the Milliken Decatur Symphony oboe section as a student all her 4 years. Mm. And and I kind of kid her, you know, being on the instrumental side when she won the competition and came in to rehearse with us. I said, "Who knew she sang?" But of course, we all knew she sang because has had lead roles in operas here before. In fact, she's in one now. Both the vocal soloists on our concert tomorrow are in the opera that we're doing here next week, Orpheus in the Underworld. So. Busy time.
Well, let's hear one of the three arias, one of them is actually a madrigal, as it's called, that Kari Ringenberg will be singing. She's doing two that will be fairly familiar to opera buffs, one from Puccini's Gianni Schicchi, one from Donizetti's Don Pasquale, and one that I have never heard of, and I'll bet our listeners haven't either, which is why we're going to play it. This is by Joaquin Rodrigo, best known for his instrumental music, from his Quattro Madrigales Amatorios, which means four madrigals about love. Do you have any idea what the text of what the title of this one she's doing
no,
means?
To my shame, I have not translated the text, because with everything I have to worry about on this concert, that piece lasts exactly 1 minute and 11 seconds, despite the $420 rental fee on it.
Oh, how about that? Well, and it's only 1 minute and 2 seconds in Victoria de los Angeles.
Having her do it slower so we can get our money's worth.
There you go. It's called De Donde Venis Amores by Rodrigo Victoria de los Angeles, here with the Sinfonia of London, led by Rafael Frubeck de Burgos. Actually, sorry, it's with the orchestra of the Society of Conservatory Concerts, or something like that.
That's hard to pronounce in French.
I'm not even going to try. I can't even
translate. I've heard them bungle it even on Radio France.
You're listening to Live and Local.
De donde venís, amore? Bien, señor, de donde? Bien, señor, de donde? Bien, señor, de donde? Bien, señor, de donde? De donde?
Music by Joaquin Rodrigo, the third of his four madrigals about love, De Donde Venis Amores, with Victoria de los Angeles. Beautiful voice, always.
Isn't that a charming little piece, too?
Yeah.
When she came in and rehearsed it, I suddenly had this idea, you know, it's sort of like the queen of the day, because I just heard Magic Flute in Chicago, and, you know, this is the queen of the night, and it's in F, just like that little piece is, and yet it's the complete, you know, the flip side of the coin. Instead of the darkness and being pulled down with the thrusts of the melodies, and it's all bright and light, and it feels like it's practically evaporating up as though it's weightless, and yet it's in the same key and arpeggiated. So it's like the Queen of the Night is the evil twin of this little arietta.
So in other words, it's worth every penny you paid for it.
Well, I might not go that far.
Kari Ringenberg will be singing that work on the Young Artists Concert with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center. I'm talking with Michael Luxner, who's the conductor of the orchestra and professor at Millikan. also, your marimba soloist, Aaron, is it Villarreal or Villarreal?
Villarreal.
Villarreal,
yep.
Okay. He doesn't do the Spanish style.
No.
I do not have a recording of this particular piece, but don't I recognize this as a piece that has won before?
No, this is not one of the
repeat
marimba. This is the first time on this one. It was written in 1953, I have down, but one of the players in our orchestra, Sharon Chung, who is the principal violist and the viola teacher here, recorded this, and I think she said it was the U.S. premiere of this piece, and it was not long ago. Mm. It was in Chicago, in fact.
Concerto Rustico by somebody Blazevich.
Yeah, and again, it's my first experience with the piece. It's for marimba and strings only, very difficult for the strings. But a real showpiece for marimba, and Aaron does a great job on it. Very octatonic. Oops, sorry, I'm not supposed to talk about music theory, am I?
Octatonic.
I'll talk about Aaron instead, another one of our really great Millikan students, another Decatur native. In fact, he's from a very prominent Decatur musical family of teachers and players. His mom played in the orchestra years ago and is still on the board of the Symphony Guild here. His older sister graduated Millikan a couple of years ago as an ace flutist. And Aaron also does everything. He plays jazz. He does wind ensemble, does percussion ensemble, and has been a standby in MDSO. In fact, both Aaron and Adam, the saxist, are returning to the orchestra after their solos tomorrow night to join the orchestra for American in Paris at the end of the concert.
Well, and that'd be a fun piece for them to play. They wouldn't want to miss it.
Nope.
So then intermission happens, and we're going to talk about in a a little later, what happens right after intermission, I want to skip to the other winner, mm-hmm. Who's a second soprano. I mean, I should say another soprano. I don't know if she sings. Well, she must sing first soprano if she's doing Glitter and Bigay of Candide.
Listen, she is all over the range. She has an amazing voice.
Kelsey Corcoran.
Yep.
A lot of I've noticed over the years, partly from judging for you a few times, that some of the vocalists are more active in your music theater program.
That's true. We have had winners who were literally music theater majors rather than music majors. That's not true of these two, Kari or Kelsey, but they are both very active in the Millikan Opera Theater. In fact, Kelsey sung Fiordaligi in Cosi last year. She is also in Orpheus next weekend. Both of these young women are members of the university choir, which has a very, very busy semester. They're singing in Carnegie Hall in March. They're singing the Missa Solemnis with the Peoria Symphony in April, and they're singing Daphnis and Chloe with us in March. And on top of that, and the opera, it's just kind of amazing that they both are doing this as well.
And Kelsey will be singing two songs or arias, as you choose, Rusalka's Song to the Moon from that opera by Dvorak, and this piece, which is from Leonard Bernstein's Candide, Glitter and Bigay. We're going to hear it sung by June Anderson, with Bernstein conducting the London Symphony in this performance here on Live and Local. Glitter and Bigay by Leonard Bernstein from Candide. We heard June Anderson and the London Symphony conducted by Bernstein. You can hear it sung by Kelsey Corcoran, one of the winners of this year's concerto solo competition at Millikan University. They'll be performing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra. She was the fourth of the four winners in program order, who will be appearing on that concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. My guest is Michael Luxner, and the people we skipped over, simply because I'm going to go out with the piece they're playing on your concert, are the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra. I don't recall them appearing on this concert before, or have they?
They have. It's been a number of years. When I started here 16 years ago, we tried to do either a side-by-side or a guest appearance by the youth orchestra once every 3 or 4 years, probably every three, just so that every high school student who goes through the orchestra had the chance to do it. We kind of let that go for a while, really, because the youth orchestra was going such great guns that it had a very full schedule. And really, you know, didn't have time. It was doing things like playing at the IMEA conference around this time of year. Now the youth orchestra has a new director. Gary Shaw stepped down after 16 years running that program about a year and a half ago. Dr. Neil Smith has taken it over and is taking it in a whole new direction. It's very impressive, with a lot of interactive things involving the student population. Neil is a music ed professor here, so he's very interested in the relationship between the youth orchestra, not just with Millikan and the symphony, but with the public schools as well. And he has things like composition contests and playing in schools and chamber groups. And we really wanted to draw attention to the program at this particular point, because he's really putting his stamp on it, and really bring to the attention of the wider public some of the things that are going on with this program, and also bring to the attention of the parents of the youth orchestra kids who will be in the audience what the MDSO is up to as well. So we are doing a sort of side-by-side. This will be the youth orchestra combining not with everyone in the MDSO, but just the student string players, just the members of the string section who are students, not the professionals. So it will be an all-student orchestra, but a very large one and a very loud one.
Especially on this piece.
Yep.
The Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra will be with the Millikan University String Arts Ensemble, as they're being called here.
Correct.
And we'll go out with this music. It's the Hungarian March from The Damnation of Faust by Hector Berlioz. Great roles for all the winds and brass, especially, I think. And Michael, thanks as always, and have a great concert on Saturday.
Well, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
The Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra plays tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus in Decatur. Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area this weekend. There are a lot, so we'll see how many we can get in. The Big Creek Guitar Band will be at the Pink House in Ogden this evening at 5 o'clock. It's Death of a Doornail being put on by St. Patrick's Crew Youth Group at St. Patrick's Church Parish Center in Urbana this evening at 7 and tomorrow at 2. Virgil Rhodes and Footprints play jazz at Robbie's Restaurant in Springfield this evening at 5:30. Dan Hubbard and the Humidors are at Boo Boo's Doghouse in Bloomington tonight at 8 o'clock. Mike Finolio and the Clark Gibson Quintet are at the Red Herring Coffee House on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana tonight at 8:30. The Prairie Dogs play at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5. Bruiser and the Virtues are at Huber's in Champaign tonight at 8. It's the Brian Chobin Jazz Quintet at Eaton Gallery in Bloomington this evening at 5 o'clock. There's a University of Illinois faculty recital by violist Rudolf Hocken tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the Music Building Auditorium in the School of Music Building on the U of I campus. The New Orleans Jazz Orchestra with Irvin Mayfield is at the Krannert Center in Urbana at 7:30 tomorrow night. It's Seussical, put on by TheaterWorks USA at the Effingham Performance Center in Effingham tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Blind Pilot with the Barr Brothers are at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Joe Pug also at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night at 10:30. Unity High School presents All Out A Cappella for two shows tomorrow in Tolono, 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Tom Torino and Hathaways are at the Krannert Center tomorrow night for the Afterglow program at 10 o'clock. It's Del Sur playing Latin music at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Jeff Helgeson and Chip McNeil are at Bouvon's in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville and PR in Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a selection of new arrivals from Heritage Wine Cellars, followed by live music from 7 to 9 by Jeff Helgeson.